During my nighttime, I had opportunities to visit some traditional Chinese herbal medical doctors, and I found their approach very amazing to me. When I was just a kid, I visited a traditional Chinese herbal medical doctor. They would just look at me. They look at my face. They would look at the color of my face, the color of my eyes, ask me to stretch out my tongue, look at the color of my tongue, or feel my pulse, and immediately he would know what's wrong with me inside by just looking at what is outside of me. I think in our lives, we are all very concerned about our physical health. We read articles about how to be healthier, how to be able to live longer. I think one of the saddest things in life is that you are sick, and yet you don't know about it until it is too late, until the medical doctors tell you, sorry, this is already the last phase of a terminal disease. You only have 3 months left. That's why I see the importance of having regular physical checkups with the doctors, so they can find out your physical problems before it becomes something that is too serious to be cured. But I think it's even more important that we know our spiritual conditions. Are we spiritually healthy? Are we spiritually sick? Wouldn't it be wonderful if there are signs outside, by looking at them, we can pause and think and check to see if we are indeed spiritually healthy inside. Today we'll look at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21, to continue with our message last time. And we will see five signs of a spirit-managed life. And in the five signs, I see a strong sense of joy. If indeed we let the Holy Spirit manage our lives, we should be able to see these five signs. So this is a time of spiritual checkup today, because physical health is important. But if you are not healthy spiritually, I believe the harm is even more, because the harm relates to our eternal life. We want to look at these signs and see what's the proper way, healthy spiritual life signs, so that when looking at these signs, if we don't see these, we will want to examine our own spiritual life. And I would pray that through today's message, if we indeed have found out that we are spiritually sick, we will seek the best doctor of all, our spiritual doctor, the Holy Spirit, to help us to be healed from them. We'll look at mainly two areas today. First, do we see the joy in worship, either public worship or personal worship? Second, in our personal life, are we sinning? If you have your Bible, please open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 5. To help you to understand this passage better, let's read from the passage that we learned last time, from verse 15 of Ephesians chapter 5. And we'll read to verse 21. Let me read it. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. That's where we stopped last time. Last time we talked about how overwhelming demands in life can be. That makes us sometimes like slaves. No freedom. And we learned how to make the most of every opportunity in verse 16, or to redeem the time from evil, because the days are evil. If we don't use our time wisely according to God's will, Satan the devil will use it for evil. And we learned how to understand the Lord's will for us every day. Every day. Not just in making those big decisions that we seek the Lord's will, but in every day. We offer ourselves up holy and pleasing to God. And then, by transforming our mind every day with God's word, we'll be able to understand God's will for our lives every day. And we learned why we should not get drunk on wine, to be controlled by anything that is like alcoholic drinks that controls our mind, our body. As a result, we'll waste our precious time, and our time will be used by evil. There's only one thing that should control us: the Holy Spirit. Verse 18 says that at the end, indeed be filled with the Spirit. We learn that here in the context of the book of Ephesians, it is talking about that we should be filled by means of the Holy Spirit. We already own 100% of the Holy Spirit. But how can we be owned by the Holy Spirit 100% of our lives? That is the question. And the person who fills our life, our heart, is our Lord Jesus Christ. What will Jesus Christ fill our life with? By means of the Holy Spirit. It is the fullness of God. It is the holy, perfect character of God. Then we come to verse 19. It says that, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. We will look at verse 21 and the passage after that next time. Today we'll just look at two major areas of Christian living: worship and our personal life. And we'll see the signs of a spiritually healthy life, and if we don't have these signs, we should pause and examine our lives. And the key is, if we are letting the Holy Spirit manage our life. That's why today's sermon topic is the joy of Spirit-managed life. If you understand something about the Bible, you know that the translation that we're reading, the English translation, either NIV or King James or other translations, they were translated from the New Testament. The New Testament translations are from the New Testament Greek manuscripts, the original language that the New Testament was written in. I spent some time reading the Greek manuscript, the Greek New Testament of this passage, and I find out something interesting from verse 19 to verse 21. Here we will see five verses. From verse 19, we'll see that speak to one another, sing and make music, giving thanks to God the Father, submit to one another. You see, five of these verses, four of them are in the present tense. It sounds like a command to ask you to do this, to do that, commands from God. But if you have the King James Version, you will see that all these five verbs were translated as present participles instead of four present tense verbs and just one participle, that's in giving thanks. Understanding the structure of this passage, I find out that here it is, the Bible is not telling us five separate commands, but it flows from verse 18, the end of it, be filled with the Spirit. That is a command for us to be filled with the Spirit. And then with the participles, explaining, telling us something about being filled with the Spirit, what that means. So it is one command, but with further explanation. It is about being filled with the Spirit. What does it mean then? If there are five participles after the main verb, be filled with the Spirit. By looking at these five verbs, what is they are describing, I found out that they are not talking about how we can be filled by the Holy Spirit. Because we know how to be filled by the Holy Spirit is a heart attitude change, to be willing to be completely controlled by the Holy Spirit in our daily living. It is not a list of do's or don'ts that we can be controlled by the Holy Spirit. It is a heart change, attitude change. It is not what we do outside that would make us be controlled by the Holy Spirit. It's from inside out. So this is talking about the results when someone is being filled by the Holy Spirit, when someone is being controlled by the Holy Spirit, what that would be like on the outside in that person's life. And here, even these five verbs, I found out that they are not an exhaustive list to tell us everything about what it is like to be filled by the Holy Spirit. Because certainly there are other things, other ways that we can express ourselves when we are controlled by the Holy Spirit. But these are some of the main signs of someone who's been controlled, who's been filled by the Holy Spirit in his or her life. Let's look at these signs. From verse 19, we'll see that it says that first, speak to one another. So if I have to revise the translation to match the original language meaning and usage of the grammar, NIV probably will translate, change that a little bit, all the present tense verbs to participles. So verse 19, speaking to one another with song, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making music in your heart to the Lord. What is it talking about here? I see that in this verse, although there are three participles, it's talking about, in general, one thing, about singing, using different synonyms to describe singing. In public worship, as we just did earlier before we look at God's Word, or in private, when you have personal worship time, you might sing. Have you ever had any experience of so overjoyed that you just want to sing? Either in the shower, or even when you're driving, or when you're walking, even if you cannot sing, like me, I'm not a very good singer, I would just hum I would just whistle to express the joy that's in my heart. When we come to public worship, or even in our personal worship time, besides expressing that joy, being filled by the Holy Spirit, our life being managed by the Holy Spirit, what are the other purposes of coming to worship service to sing? Some people who don't understand why Christians sing, they'll think that Christians, they're just coming to church to do Christian karaoke. They just like singing. Is that the reason why we sing here? I see that besides expressing our joy of being filled by the Holy Spirit, here it tells us in verse 19, reasons for singing. It says that, speak to one another with psalms, like in the book of Psalms in the Bible, those are poems that the people in Israel actually sang with to praise God. But here it says that you speak to one another with psalms, not just to God, but speak to one another. That means we sing to one another, us, believers of Jesus Christ. Why? Why do we speak to one another in psalms, hymns, or spiritual songs? I see that there's a reason. When we share, tell people about God through singing, we are helping each other to remember who God is. We're also helping each other to understand more about what God has done through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit in our life. So it's a way for us to teach one another, to instruct one another, and to help us to remember who is God, what God has done in our lives. For the second reason that we sing in public or personal worship time is that we sing and make music in our hearts to the Lord. See, worship, singing has two audiences. One is believers, one another. Another one is God. Here the Lord is Jesus Christ. Why do we sing to God? Because we want to praise Him for who He is, how wonderful He is, how great He is, and how many blessings He has bestowed on us. He has given us. As a result, we praise God. How do we sing? In what manner do we sing? Many people, they emphasize so much on the emotions. When I'm singing, my emotion must be feeling high. I found out that music, even without lyrics, has a strong impact on our mind. Because I have read about people worshipping idols and even the devil with music that totally hypnotize them, control their mind, although they were worshipping the devil. I have seen people going to pop music concerts and they are totally worshipping the music and the singers, but it has nothing to do with God. So music has a strong impact on your mind. It tells us that we should be very careful what type of music or songs we listen to. But here, it tells us that we should sing and make music in our hearts to the Lord. So it is not just talking about emotions. What it is talking about is that the heart that represents the controlling center of the whole person, the whole being. Sure, it includes emotions, but that is not all it is about. It is about singing with our whole being to God and to one another. And you should be able to see joy if your life has been completely guided and managed and controlled by the Holy Spirit. I would see that we first start with knowing what we are singing. The lyrics are very important, because they are to remind us about who God is and what God has done in our lives, and why we praise God for who God is and what He has done in our lives. So it starts with knowing and understanding what we are singing, and then out of deep appreciation of who God is, what He has done for us through Jesus Christ, our heart should naturally show joy, appreciation that might be shown as one emotion, but it comes from appreciation in our heart of who God is and what He has done for us through Jesus Christ. And then not only our heart, that starts with knowing, but then expression of joy, but also even our hands and feet, the whole body, we are willing as a result to be used by God, to be transformed by God as we sing in the Holy Spirit. I think this adds a new meaning to singing in worship, or in personal worship. We need to examine when we sing, do we really understand what we are singing, or are we just impacted by the music because we like the music and we feel good about the music? Or are we singing with a good understanding of what we are singing? As a result, when we sing, we indeed are encouraging one another. We are reminding one another about God and what God has done for us in our lives. And our joy should come from that appreciation. And our life will be transformed by this type of singing that is in the Holy Spirit. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, to our Lord Jesus Christ. So I see that by looking at public worship, singing, or even personal, private worship singing, if we don't see that joy, we don't see that attitude in our singing, I'm afraid it shows us that we are not spiritually well. I think that's a very, very good sign. Then how can we restore the joy and the spiritual health? As we learned last time, the key is to be willing in everything that we do in our lives, be controlled by the Holy Spirit, by praying continually in all circumstances, in the Spirit, to ask Jesus Christ to fill our heart with the holy, perfect characters of God by means of the Holy Spirit. And then our life will be managed by the Holy Spirit. And when we come, we will just naturally want to sing because of our deep appreciation of who God is and what Jesus Christ has done for us. I see that the second sign we should look at is our personal life. Do we see joy in our daily living? And here, verse 20 tells us that always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Always, all the time, giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I see that in addition to singing, a spirit-managed life should manifest itself in giving thanks giving thanks. Thanksgiving is coming in about 3 weeks. Most people give thanks to God on Thanksgiving Day. But here, it is not just talking about giving thanks to God on Thanksgiving holiday, and often it's also because we enjoy the family gathering and the good food. But here, it talks about that we should give thanks always to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks, I think this is something that very few Christians appreciate. But it is very important. If you have your Bible, open your Bible to Romans chapter 1, verse 21. It actually says that the failure to give thanks is the root cause of sin. The failure to give thanks is the root cause of sin in our lives. Romans chapter 1, verse 21 reads, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God, nor gave thanks to Him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened." People sin because they don't give thanks to God anymore. So sin is basically ingratitude, not appreciating what God has done for our lives. Why? Think about that. When you are giving thanks to God, it will be pretty difficult for you to hate at the same time and to complain at the same time. Think about this. If you are so thankful for your wife or your husband, you should not be thinking about another woman or man that is outside your marriage, because you are so thankful for who God has given you as your wife or husband. So a thanksgiving attitude makes it difficult for us to sin. If we don't know how to give thanks, that's why we are not content. That's why we will feel we don't have this, we don't have that, and we want to have more, and we will be controlled by greed. And as a result, we sin. If you have your Bible, let's also open your Bible to Philippians chapter 4. Verse 10 to verse 13. It tells us a perfect example of giving thanks, or here it talks about being content. Paul is saying here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 10, "I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need. For I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength." Here is talking about Christ, through Jesus Christ, who gives us strength. No matter what situations we are in, we can still be content, we can still give thanks, because God cares for us. What we need, He gives us. What we don't need at this point, that's why we are not getting it yet. It's because of God's caring love for us that we trust that all that we need, God has already given us. Many things that we think we need, they're just things that we want. We want to have more. What makes it difficult to apply this passage in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20 is that it says that we need to give thanks always to God the Father for everything. Some people think, then does it mean that even When a child, lovely child, is killed, then I give thanks? There's evil in the world, should I give thanks for evil? Here, God is not asking us to give thanks for evil or for the bad things that happen in our life, but that even in when we see evil, even in bad experiences that the world sees as bad, we have the confidence that God, who is in control, who will help us to benefit even in those bad experiences in the end. That echoes what Romans chapter 8 verse 28 says. If you have your Bible, you can open your Bible to Romans chapter 8. This is a familiar verse. And it says that, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. It is because our confidence is in God and His word and His power, sovereignty, to be in control of everything. When evil happens, God allows that to happen, because in the end, God will bring out good, even allowing evil to happen for a while. Lastly, verse 20, it says that we are to give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does it mean to give thanks? In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Name has a very important meaning for Chinese people. Each name, usually two Chinese characters or three. Now I heard that because there are so many people in mainland China, many people have names with four words, four Chinese characters, because there are so many similar names or names that are the same. But each name tells us about who we are. And especially in Jewish culture, it also tells about what that person has accomplished. Here, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that means that we are to give thanks on the basis of who our God is and what Jesus Christ has done for us. That's what giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ means. So when we give thanks, we think about who God is, our sovereign God, in control in everything. In everything, He makes everything work for the benefit of us, even in those, we think, disasters, sad things that happen in our lives. I see that such a life can only be lived out if we are 100% guided and controlled by the Holy Spirit. It will not be possible for us human beings in our flesh to always give thanks and to give thanks in everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Only a 100% Holy Spirit controlled person can do that. And the result is joy, disregard of the circumstances, what you're experiencing in your life. To reflect on the initial introduction of the message, let's ask ourselves, as a congregation, are we spiritually healthy? Or are we spiritually sick? Are we individually spiritually healthy, or are we spiritually sick? Because the congregation is composed of each member. How do we know whether we are spiritually healthy or spiritually sick? By looking at your public and personal worship through singing. Is there joy? Or through our personal life, have we been giving thanks to God in the name of Jesus Christ, always, in everything? If not, I would say we are not spiritually healthy And the problem is that we have not been living by the Holy Spirit. We have not been willing to let the Holy Spirit to guide us, to control our lives in everything that we do. But there's hope. When my brother was seriously sick, he had heart disease. All the Western medical doctors said that my brother will not be able to survive for half a year. And my parents were so worried. But my parents was able to find out about a very, very good traditional Chinese herbal medical doctor. And he found out that my brother was not going to die. And he knew how to help my brother heal. That's why my brother is still alive today, actually taller and stronger and bigger than I am. I see that if we have found out that we are spiritually sick, there's hope if we know that we are spiritually sick and we seek the best spiritual doctor, the Holy Spirit, to help to heal us from all spiritual diseases. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you knowing that we are not always controlled by the Holy Spirit in our lives. We are often self-centered. We have many selfish desires that ultimately lead us into sin, into things that displease God and hurt other people. I just want to ask for your forgiveness of my sins and everyone's sins here. Would you cleanse us? Our dear Heavenly Father, let our life that is managed 100% by the Holy Spirit show joy that is from the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. When we sing, let us not try to force it, but because we are so deeply appreciative of who God is and what God has done for us, joy will overflow from our hearts. And because of this appreciation, we are willing to be transformed by God's word, transformed by God's Spirit. In everything that we do, we are willing to seek your will, to be holy, pleasing to you. I also pray that in our daily living, as we are in the Spirit, we are reminded of the glory and the greatness and the loving kindness of God to us every day. Our heart will very naturally give thanks to God, always in everything, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Dear God, would you give us this joy today and every day? Let us be holy people and joyful people who will tell the world, with our joyful, holy life, that God is with us and God is good, and we want to praise you. We cannot stop but to praise you, to sing to you and encourage one another. May you transform each one of us and our congregation. Let us not come as a ritual to just go through the motion of worship on Sundays, but every day we sing with joy to praise God. Every day we give thanks. Our prayer is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.